First of all, I would like to thank Laurence, Wendy, Nicola, Mucha Media, and Constance for inviting me to give this lecture. I've been crazy about science fiction since I was a child, but before meeting Laurence, I had never bridged the gap between this hobby and my academic work. I had never bridged the gap between this hobby. Last year in Sevilla, during my presentation Stitch and Split, I tried to analyze the relationship between human rights and science fiction, taking an open, flexible, and complex approach to both concepts. I'm sorry that my English is far from perfect. I must improve it, I know. I'm working on it. I hope you will be patient with me. Seeing what is said and then what is done in the real world in terms of human rights, I think we can say clearly that most of the time we are very much in the realms of science fiction. But beyond that irony, human rights can be described as ideas of plenitude which are intended to merge with reality, which connects directly with the speculative dimension of science fiction. Which science fiction? I share the theoretical beliefs that state that we should not automatically conform to what is empirically handed down to us. In fact, one of the most interesting things about science fiction is that it is concerned with opening up new horizons, playing with the limits of empirical reality. In this way, it allows us to speculate about possible evolutions, transformations, and deviations from natural and human society. I consider that science fiction, using imagination in order to think of new subjectivities, identities, and epistemic borders, should be taken into account as a very valuable practice. What conception of human rights? The concept of human rights, which we have inherited from capitalist modernity, clearly reproduces liberal logic. On the one hand, this is based on a substantialist and closed vision of dignity and human nature, which is conceived as something fixed and homogeneous. On the other hand, it contains a series of tricks and derivations both in their enunciation and their development. In this way, it consciously separates the fields of the private and the public, allowing for the fact that there are six spaces in life: the domestic sphere, the economy, etc., in which human rights cannot be recognized. Besides, it limits its spheres of influence to the political arena, which is understood in a very restrictive sense. As opposed to this essentialist and rigid notion, I wish to posit a much more open, flexible, and fluid concept which allows human rights to be applied to all spheres of social life. One possible link between science fiction and human rights. At this point, I would like to note one specific aspect: the effect of scientific and technological advances on the human condition. Both science and human rights are concerned with ideals of perfection and the principles of real impossibility, which is connected with the limits of knowledge and human behavior, which Western thought continuously attempts to overcome. I wish to show the influence of this set of beliefs and abstract ideas on human beings and their conditions of existence. Technology and science play a key role in this use. Books of science fiction help us to discover new possibilities in our analysis. No? I don't know. One of the great perils and problems of using abstractions and idealizations appears when we fail to take into account the elements that are eliminated. Equal problems arise when we overstate the elements that are added. With abstractions, you can omit one or several elements with which, although they may be important and decisive, are considered as secondary and therefore may be ignored. With regard to idealizations, the elements introduced is so big and demanding that it is impossible to reach any degree of perfection. The problem, in both cases, appears when there is no awareness of the repercussions that these mechanisms have on human life and the rational processes that constitute it. The reality and rationality of the real, corporal, concrete and plural human beings' life disappears. Science, as well as works of science fiction, fall into habits. The difference is that the former have real consequences on our daily life, and the latter, in fiction, demonstrate a larger recreation of those mechanisms, although they do in fact affect us because they reinforce and consolidate even more that imaginary technology which is blind of its effects. Borges' story about the Emperor's map allows me to demonstrate this very well. On one side, there can be no perfect map, for it should have the same dimensions as that which it represents. By urging all the peasants to construct it without exceptions, the emperor caused the fall of the kingdom and the death of his people due to the fact that they cannot attend to their means of making and living. It is about making an easy-to-use and realistic map, which serves as a guideline. But on the other hand, the social fabric reveals the type of connections that are being constructed between the emperor and his subjects. For even though the kingdom's leader is worried about feeding his people, he could do it. In fact, he does, although under a sacrificial culture, through exclusion, marginalization, and exploitation dynamics, and by not recognizing them as separate subjects with their own profound reciprocal fields. This is how, among other reasons, the West, with its tendency to view things from a scientific point of view, sacrifices reality for ideals of abstraction and perfection. And it does so, projecting on all kinds of institution and intervention those same devices of fetishism and idolatry that Borges uses, not just where science is concerned. This also holds true for democracy, the state, the market, freedom, and human rights themselves. In the end, we end up letting of Christians live their own life, and we lose the ability to control them and to maintain a balance based on the real relationship between things and people. We let go of this functionality for the human condition in exchange for situations in which interventions work independently from our own decisions. Following this direction, we can project the outline or schema of the Borges story onto the field of science fiction. There are many examples. In some of them, we can also detect the perversity of scientific and technological rationality. In Blade Runner, for instance, we have the humanization of Roy in the last scene of the movie. From avenging Angel, searching for his origin and expiry date, he turns into a human facing his appointment with death. And there he finds the importance of living. He grants Dix the car, Harrison Ford, life in the last minute because he values it in its whole dimension. His mortality humanizes him and humanizes the car at the same time. But if we analyze the movie's decadent world, we see how the replicants are discriminated against even to the extreme situation of being eliminated. And they aren't the only marginalized people. Other human beings, Asiatic, Latin, who are, among other things, not completely healthy, also can't leave Earth. Social relations are damaged through the absence of respect and acknowledgement that every human and non-human being is able to make sense of his reality, able to make and make worlds through his own libidinous ethical, political, cultural and social condition. Ridley Scott's film places itself among those in which humanity and our identity are based on the skill we have of kissing, of saying and living, of feeling passion and desire, not exclusively based on reason and science. On a different level, in the film Metropolis by Rintaro and Otomo, we can perceive this effect in the Ziggurat, which incorporates the ideals of perfection and omniscience represented by science. Red Duke represents the ambitions toward absolute scientific knowledge, used by a selfish, despotic, and murderous power, which sacrifices lives and the expense of searching for eternal power over everything. Society, which appears divided into three levels, is broken in its relations because of the inequality established both between human beings and the robots. Moreover, in Metropolis, just as in Blade Runner, we find the reversible dimension both in the process of humanization and in the process of human rights. Robots, replicants, and human beings, depending on the moments, can humanize themselves and construct rights or dehumanize themselves, destroying them. We also have the whole speculative literature of post-apocalyptic futures I won't talk about here, and which reproduces the rift in human coexistence in societies which existed before the events that led to their destructions. In this sense, and using an easy resource, we have the Mad Max films. What attracts me the most in the treatment of the effects of destruction and fragmentation of human relations in the science fiction genre and the recreation of the worlds in which there is no socialization between people with regard to spaces for the constitutions of subjects. Talking about living condition implies referring to the stuff that articulates these same conditions, the social schemes, the whole of human relations. In this sense, Isaac Asimov in Naked Sun describes a hypothetical world in which there is no physical contact between humans. Thanks to the colonization of other planets, each person lives isolated from the rest but surrounded by robots and technology. The main means of communication is through screens. Each human being lives as hermit in vast private properties. Each of them possesses a certain fear towards corporeal, physical, and direct relations. Robots take care of all domestic work. The reader has the sensation of leaping towards a technological future of plenty as described in the novel, bringing about a contraction of a present in which there is a lot of isolation and lack of human contact. The fabric of relationship disappears in spite of the fact that one can live once. One can live once writes thanks to the advances of science. Ahí me la habían cambiado. Enjoy. There is something lacking in this way of existence. Under an underlying Newtonism and Cartesianism, we end up building worlds in which we believe that it's abstractly possible to live in without the necessity of our social historical construction and without establishing any kind of social relations with fellow human beings. In fact, human relations never disappear. Instead of that, they head toward conceptual excuses that are speculative and against fact. Robots, cyborgs, aliens, and our new worlds, impossibility principles are used to reduce human relations almost to non-existence or to pass beyond them, ignoring the sociological and historical process that led us day by day to articulate our concrete existence, enabling us to know ourselves, to identify ourselves, to communicate with ourselves, to respect ourselves, to argue without eliminating ourselves, but pluralizing ourselves. The science fiction genre can suggest to us several alternatives in this direction, starting with an idea of human rights which aims to encompass the social, historic, relational, rational, and multidirectional dimension of the human condition that moves between this margin of finite and infinite. I search in this speculative literature not to lose sight of the human reference, how it is articulated, how it is built, how it is destroyed, and why. I think, therefore, that although there is a lot of science fiction literature that exaggerates the future of the past, contracting the present to the point of forgetting about it, there is another kind that spans the present with imagined worlds from other space and time sequences. They are recreations of worlds in which human and non-human relations are articulated both from hierarchies and horizontals, both from inclusion and exclusion processes. From a human rights point of view, it is very attractive to analyze how actions, activities, and human relations are articulated from those conditionals and from main images in science fiction works. Humans, robots, cyborgs, and aliens represent human enrichment or impoverishment possibilities where we make ourselves or we undo ourselves as subjects. They enable us to see whether the articulation of our relations is restrictive to the few through rank and selective, exploitative and discriminative dynamics, or extensive to many with horizontal dialogue and solidarity dynamics, or open in a complex way under mutual recognition dynamics, starting with inequalities, indifferences, and as subjects, as a static starting point, out of context, abstracting rational matter, space, and time, or as an open condition, unfinished, contingent, and processual, always taking into account human creations and their ever partial and incomplete dimensions, and also plural, heterogeneous, and multidimensional aspects. In science fiction, this problem is usually reflected in two different ways. On the one hand, a future is imagined in which human relationships are articulated in social schemes or exclusional regulation, with no regard or needed for the affective, the material, or the corporal. Thus, in The Naked Sun, there is no physical contact between humans who only relate to each other through technological media. On the other hand, the possibility that science and technology can progress without forgetting the human reference is also established. Social schemes of solidarity and emancipation, as occurs in many novels by Sturgeon, Octavia Butler, or Juan Miguel Aguilera, are also developed. In any case, the main challenge that humanity has to face in the future is not its relationship with machines, as seen in the Matrix trilogy, but rather the cohabitation of humans themselves. Only if man can learn, woman can learn to respect himself, to understand his possibilities and accept his limitations, will he be able to live in harmony with that surrounds him, both the natural and the artificial world. Our daily life, inarticulated within a social web of emancipation, of regulation, relations can be established by genre, by ethnicity, by racial, by symbolic, cultural, technological determinants, all of which are constantly being constructed every moment and in every social sphere. Science fiction usually speculates about our present in order to denounce, question, one, claim, and or propose a world of exclusive or inclusive relations, of human and or non-human sacrifices, or of acknowledging or not acknowledging pluralities and difference. This is why I believe we must not restrict ourselves to fiction and the work in itself, but use its ideas, suggestions, situations, and realities as guidelines for our own social and daily experience, as well as in all aspects related to power, political power, which is expressed on every level of society, and the articulation of dynamics of domination or emancipation in the fields of gender, sexuality, ethnicity, etc. To bring these thoughts to a conclusion, we will look at some other science fiction works through the threads of their social fabrics. The description on a Tom War in John Calvin Bachelor's The People's Republic on Antarctica is also interesting. The author, intentionally, shows us the total destruction of all human relations because of a culture of consolidated charity and paternalism, and also ruled by a utilitarianism. In the Matrix trilogy and in Rintaro and Otomo Metropolis, human beings and robots are opposed, forgetting that the key doesn't reside in the problem. The human being has in coexisting with other beings which are revolting against him, but in the responsibility he has to allow human beings to respect each other. Only in this way the account system of inclusive relationship and recognition of other species be built. In short, if we don't respect ourselves, how are we going to respect any other being, entity or type? On the other hand, if we start with a notion of a nomadic subject, we give meaning to a new way of building up a more democratic sense of reality. Finally, science fiction gives us new outlooks, avenues and human and non-human relationship patterns. Many books note our social decline, but at the same time, they open up new ways to encourage human and non-human relationship. Spanish poet Antonio Machado said, "The eye that you see is not an eye thanks to you, but it is an eye because it sees you." Human rights equally can only exist as a relation between two or more people. Thanks for coming.